Welcome back, everyone, to another gripping season of the Midlife Hour Reviews television series. It's your host, DP, back here with my best bud, Bob Arcadian. And today we're going to dive straight into the twisted brilliance of Black Mirror Season 7. So for our opening episode titled Common People, we're treated to a story that hits alarmingly close to home, starring the immensely talented Rashida Jones. The episode explores the harsh realities many committed couples face today and the crushing decisions made under unimaginable stress, whether it be financial stress or attempting to conceive a child. And in true Black Mirror form, technology is both the savior and a villain, offering life-saving procedures hidden behind paywalls, subscriptions that subtly degrade humanity with each escalating tier. And that's my intro, Bob. What do you have to say as we get going on this one?
This episode is brought to you by Rockapads. It's The Rock. This is where I first saw Rashida Jones in a Chappelle show, and I thought she was pretty funny in that. And I've loved her in a lot of series since then. Angie Tribeca. I was really excited to see her in Black Mirror when I saw her in the trailer.
Did you watch Parks and Rec?
I love Parks and Rec. I watched Celeste and Jesse Forever with her and Andy Samberg. And her newest one on Apple Plus, which was Sunny.
Sunny.
That's canceled. How did this episode bring us in?
It opened with her teaching a classroom of children about little bee drones that they use to pollinate flowers because bees went extinct. So we're nowhere sometime in a future world where, whether it be climate change or just, you know, lack of care for the planet, bees are now extinct. And we know,
which was a nice callback to the episode about the bees. What was it, season 5 or 4, where they were going in people's ears and through their nose and digging into their brains? That was awesome. I thought that was awesome. A nice little homage, if you will.
But it really sets the tone because we're talking about a future in which we don't have bees. If we don't have bees to pollinate grasses, wheats, flowers, plants, we're looking at a very dark future. So the fact that it's opening up with a future world where we've got these very tiny drones to replace that function of the bees, it just sets the tone for the entire show or episode for that matter. So obviously she's a school teacher teaching kids. She has a touching little interaction with a little girl who's concerned because she's getting bullied about being poor, not being able to afford new shoes. She's wearing her older sister's hand-me-downs. So it immediately pulls you in, sets the tone, starts tugging at those heartstrings, and it doesn't stop for nearly 40 minutes.
I think it's interesting that that song is always a recurring song in the episodes. There was that episode with the dude from Get Out, and she had to sing it to get out of that whole little enslavement camp that she was in season 1 or season 2. It just keeps coming back, but in different forms. I like that.
Little Easter eggs.
That's always nice. And that's what makes it so Twilight Zone-y, isn't it? Is the little Easter eggs that they throw out there every season.
Within the first 10 minutes of watching episode 1, I immediately thought to myself, oh yeah, this is why everyone loves to watch Severance. Severance is like they took an idea from Black Mirror and just spread it across an entire season.
I felt the same way. And shit, we should just talk about what happens, right?
Yeah. Dive right in, Babito.
Rashida Jones's character, what's her name?
Amy? Amanda.
Amanda, sorry. She dies. She's in class one day and she just faints. It was in the cafeteria, I believe. I can't remember exactly. But she faints and she dies.
It was in the middle of a class. I think we should back up because I think the way the script was written, it really sets the stage of letting you know who these people are, right? They're an older couple, probably older than typical for people who are without kids in this day and age. Maybe not in our tangible reality where dinks are becoming the popular thing, but they don't have kids. She's a school teacher. Husband is a welder, and it's their anniversary. And there's some great comedy in that first line where she's like, oh, you're gonna take her somewhere fancy? He's like, nope, same piece of shit, you know, place that we ever go. And but they enjoy it, and they do a good job of showing the dynamic of the relationship and how they enjoy each other's company and the little things, and that they don't need the elegance or money or nice things to have a very full committed relationship. They go to the Juniper, they eat a shitty burger, they watch some older people try to live out their days as entertainers, but they enjoy it, and they did a good job depicting the closeness of the relationship.
And so those entertainers were awful, just to not to cut you off, but they were awful when she was alive. They were awful.
I thought they were quite pleasant. It was cute. Yeah, but they follow that up with her experiencing that medical emergency and being hospitalized, ultimately like being declared brain dead, right? That was a pretty quick acceleration. And I have some ideas about that. It seemed a little quick for the doctor to like just drop this little this advertisement for Rivermind, but that's what happens as she's essentially brain dead and her only choice to move on with living or to awaken from her medical emergency is to go with this brand new experimental procedure called Rivermind, which was even more hilarious because you have Rashida Jones, Quincy Jones' daughter, and then you have Diana Ross's daughter playing the lead person of Rivermind. Basically, it's a subscription-based service that can reanimate you for people who are brain dead. With some caveats, people sleep longer. And while they're sleeping, the company is utilizing their brain power to further facilitate their software, their platform. But like in a true menacing capitalist manner, there's escalating tiers of these things.
With catches. And to be fair to the doctor, I don't think she was just quickly trying to throw them to Rivermind, because she did say, I've never seen this lady before, and this has never been done before. Like, this is completely new, but if you want to try it, here it is. I mean, she gave it a 50-50. It could have been for like a hopeful reason. Who knows? Before we get into it, would you do that? Would you reanimate yourself if you were brain dead? Upload yourself to the cloud?
Would I reanimate myself? I don't think that circumstance really applies in this instance as it relates to Black Mirror, but what's that show that's on Amazon Plus, Upload, where people, when they pass away, they upload their brains to the servers and blah, blah, blah. This isn't a new theme for sci-fi. It's been done before, but though it's been done before, kind of hasn't been done in the eerie, sickening, villainous manner that it was in Black Mirror. But would I do this for my spouse? I struggled with that thought. I would think... fortunately, I'm in a position that, like, financially, it wouldn't be a burden. Ethically, I think I'm still undecided. Still undecided.
It's easy for me.
I'm a bit of a pessimist, right? So I understand, like, if someone's dropping by a hospital to advertise some new procedure, there's going to be some catches to it. There's going to be some financial motivations that are going to be detrimental to the patient. And that's just my personal perspective. So I think I'm undecided. If it was one of my children, I think it'd be a much harder decision.
I think it'd be a hard decision, but either way, they're gone. And they all know that. Because after we watched the episode, I had a conversation with them all. And they're not getting reanimated. They're gone. Simple as that. And so am I. Simple as that.
Gone, baby, gone.
Gone, baby, gone, baby, gone. I'm not fucking around with that shit. Not fuck AI in the sense of using it as a tool and for it to help you, but fuck AI in the sense of letting it invade my brain and give me a shit ton of information. But that being said, what's the next?
So it gets sold to her after she reanimates that, like, this is a brand new company. They're a startup. They have limited coverage, but most of the state of Georgia falls underneath their launch coverage.
Common package.
And it seems to be going well, but as with most things, I mean, anybody who's lived through the end of cable and satellite television to the birth of streaming platforms has experienced this, right? Like, Netflix used to be pretty reasonable, and they start coming out with different tiers. Oh, now you can pay for no ads. Okay, now you have ads when it comes to Hulu. She starts to get ads. She starts sleeping longer. They come out with a new tier. And every time they come out with a new tier, something that was previously a part of the tier you paid for is taken away from you. And you're financially forced to purchase this upgraded tier to continue on living as you had at the previous level. So it's very unethical. What was very eerie is that moment when, you know, he's making coffee and she immediately starts speaking, giving like an advertisement. I can't remember the brand that she mentioned, but like, they have fresh roasted coffee beans, you know, you should try it. But
how Truman Show is that? That's exactly what Truman's wife did in the kitchen. She comes in, she's like, why not try these roasted beans today? And he's like, what the fuck are you talking about? It's very comparable to that. That's exactly what it seemed like. Like, you don't remember when she came in and she has to talk to the camera because she's hired for the...
How is it relevant to the story?
It's a very similar scene.
Yeah, if someone not being present of mine, I'm sure we can come up with thousands of similarities in cinema and television over the past 50 to 100 years where people who are not present of mine say something in a very odd alien-like manner.
About coffee to their husband.
Besides the point, what I thought was more hilarious is that the person I was watching this episode with did not pick up at all that that was supposed to be an ad broadcasted unconsciously through her. And I had to rewind it into that. I had to kind of explain it. I was like, what? It was very apparent to me. I thought Rashida Jones did a good job subtly indicating with her facial acting that, you know, it wasn't a cognitive choice to speak out in that manner.
Agreed. Yeah, she turned. She looked like a robot for a second, and she did her little advertisement, and she had no idea what the hell she said, which repeated until she wasn't on the common package anymore.
So as everyone knows, like it just continues to snowball and snowball. And over the years, as new tiers get released, the current tier that they're on that they can barely afford in the beginning, $300 a month, goes up to the $300 plus another $800 a month for the plus tier, and just to continue those same services and get additional access to make it to Juniper, right? And then eventually they get the Lux tier, and it compounds. And they were already struggling financially. They ultimately have to dig into their baby fund, right, to continue paying for these things. And the story takes a huge menacing turn when they start introducing like microtransactions into it. But prior to that, you know, the advertising, the involuntary broadcasting of ads costs Amanda, Rashida Jones, her career as a school teacher when she starts making some targeted ads. Like, you know, everyone's done this. You open up one of your social media ads or open up an internet browser and you've been talking about something or researching something. And now, you know, they know you're going camping and they're trying to sell you a kayak or some life vest. But that turns sour when a kid is talking about, you know, his relationship with his father, and she starts recommending Christian counseling, and it upsets the parent, costs her job. But it just did a good job depicting the compounding stresses of life that make existence sometimes feel insurmountable.
And in between, like, I think it's right around that time, her husband's at his job, right, at the welding place, and you have that knucklehead of a co-worker on his phone watching.
Everybody's got a Bob Arcadian at work.
Dumb dummies. And what's the concept of that? Dark internet?
It's like OnlyFans for sadists.
That's a good way to put it. I believe there actually is a website called
Dumb Dummies?
Pain Olympics or something like this. And it reminds me of that. And pretty much they pay you to rip like your teeth out or harm your genitals or some shit, and you can make your rent or whatever the fuck. Anyway, that's what he's looking at with this little knucklehead at work. And he's very disappointed in the knucklehead.
You know, and that part was quite human, right? Like, in an effort to keep his wife alive, he's working so much overtime that he barely gets to see her. That compounded with the length of time she has to sleep as a part of the Rivermind process. They're not even really spending time with each other like they used to, right? Because they're struggling to pay for this process. And ultimately, he does go down that dark hole to continue paying for the plus membership. And, you know, what he was drinking, like Dawn dish soap, and then drinking piss, and then doing some things with orifices and appendages.
They made him shove a hand, like a hand puppet, D-I-L-D-O, up his anus. And I mean, when you repeatedly do that, is it work? If you love what you do, is it ever work?
It's a hustle.
I don't even know if it's a hustle if you love what you do, because he kept going back to it. He seemed addicted to the life.
I don't want to beat a dead horse, right? Because the cycle continues throughout the episode as far as like the restrictions or the preferences or things that get built into these tiered systems. But it ultimately ends up with Lux, and Lux introduces the ability to manually manipulate your senses along with your like emotions. And that all comes to a close towards the end of the episode, where at first he was able to afford 12 hours of Lux and did that for the anniversary. But by the end of it, he loses his job when he gets outed as a dumb dummy for hire. And he could only afford the 30 minutes, right? And they use that.
That's why he got outed for being a dumb dummy. He got outed because he was arguing with the idiot kid, and he kind of pushed, not necessarily on purpose, pushed him in front of a vehicle.
Words have meaning, and he was outed as a dumb dummy, and in his retaliation for being outed as a dumb dummy, he was fired.
And then he pushed a young man in front of a vehicle and killed him.
The last 30 minutes of Lux is spent with a very ill-looking Amanda and I think it was Gaynor was the husband's name. He looks like he's given up on life, right? He sells a crib to some people, presumably off something equivalent to Craigslist or Facebook Marketplace, or just going to burn it for a music video. But they use that last 30 minutes of Lux and manual manipulation of senses and emotions to boost her serenity through the sky, right? And in that moment, Amanda comes to peace with that she can't continue to live on as this Rivermind subscriber. And that's a very touching moment.
Yeah, I wouldn't have to get to that point. Personally, I mean, it's crazy to me how, I mean, but there would be a story, right? If she didn't do it. So,
yeah, it's just like, Bob Arcadian, would you like your spouse to continue living? And he's like, wait, you mean I could be a bachelor and just do what I want?
Not even be a bachelor. Like, I would have her urn and her ashes next to me. I'd probably get them tattooed on me. You know what I'm saying? Just, I wouldn't. She was suffering that episode. She was suffering.
A tattoo is a good substitute for life. It's a good consolation prize.
What kind of life is it sleeping? Remember, do you remember what Gaynor said? That's the name of the chick. She said, oh, without the upgrade, you'll be sleeping for 16 hours a day. What the fuck? That's not a life. You're pretty much absolutely. The fucking dude on the couch and half baked. So,
but it's not always like that, and it wasn't always like that. And you can, if you have the means, as is in real life, right? If you have the means, most things aren't as difficult as they are for everyone else. But we're talking about a very slim amount of people who can afford, you know, the thousands of dollars to afford that premium service.
So, what's the hidden message?
The hidden message is the evils of capitalism, especially when it comes to the medical industry and procedures that are necessary to save one's life, right? So the fact that they hid this procedure behind a paywall, to me, was brilliant. So I love the episode.
Dear God, I wonder, can you save me? The evils, Jay-Z.
So 1 out of 10, Babito, what are you giving this episode?
Episode 1, I give a 8 out of 10.
I'm going to give it a 9.5 out of 10. I loved it. I genuinely love this episode.
I think it's the best season so far. And that's crazy to say, but I really enjoyed it. I watched it in a day and a half.
Okay. We're not talking about the rest of the episodes yet, Bobito.
All right. Deal.
No, but I do have high hopes for this season. It looks like they did bring on a lot of high profile names to participate in this anthology series. But we'd like to hear what you guys thought of it. What your thoughts are. What did you interpret? What other analogies can be derived from this story? Leave it down below in the comments. Hit the bell notification. Subscribe. Help us out. We know it's been a while since we did one of these episode reviews since Severance ended. But we will be coming back for every single episode of Black Mirror. So be on the lookout.
And give us a good suggestion and we might check it out. If it's not good, we won't check it out.
And with that, thank you and peace out.
Stay classy. All I wanna know is, can I eat a sub?